Welcome to the conversation from a man's perspective. This is the place where we dialogue about religion, politics, relationships, dating, and social issues. The purpose of our conversations are to stimulate positive communication, thus creating a more harmonious atmosphere. Under the umbrella of Black Pearl Image Consulting, we also hold self-esteem building workshops with powerful motivational speakers to get you to the next level. Here at Black Pearl Image, we bring out the gem in you because we focus on the inner image first and the rest will follow. So check us out at blackpearlimage.com and book your next intimate conversation with one of our panelists. Also, a self-esteem building workshop with our motivational speakers. See you there.
Hello, everyone. How are you today on this beautiful Sunday? I am excited to be able to come back to you and give you more wonderful, inspiring, and inspirational messages with our guest. Today, we have Johnny Hayward with us, and he is from Charleston, South Carolina. Johnny is my homeboy, of course, because I am from Charleston, South Carolina. So we want to welcome you to another conversation from a man's perspective with Johnny's thoughts.
I'm all right. How are you?
I was telling everyone that you are from Charleston, South Carolina, and so I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I am Johnny Hayward. I live here in Charlotte now, from Charleston originally. I am a licensed plumber in the state of North Carolina. I own my own business. It is National Plumbing Solutions at the time, and basically that's about it.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Now, today, our conversation from a man's perspective is about intercultural, interracial dating. So some of us have dated interracially. Some of us have dated other cultures. And so we're going to be looking at it from the outside of that looking in. So, Johnny, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. All righty. Now, on next week, to bridge the gap with this show, next week we have interracial couples that will be joining us to give us information from the inside of the relationship looking in. So I'm very excited to see how this conversation flows with next week's conversation. I think it'll be very, very interesting. On the line, we also have Shelton Parker. Is that correct?
That's correct. How y'all doing?
Fine, Shelton. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Shelton, we have Johnny Hayward on the line.
How you guys doing, Mr. Hayward?
Hey, how are you, Shelton?
I'm good, man. Good to hear you.
Oh, good. Same here.
Well, Shelton, to fill you in a little bit, we are talking about conversations from a man's perspective, and we are taking our views from the outside looking in on interracial and intercultural dating relationships. Before we do that, Shelton, tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do.
Well, first of all, I did 13 years in the military, been around the country, so I have a little experience dealing with other cultures and all that. I'm self-employed now, and I've been that way for, I guess, 99. And I've never been married or anything, no kids, but I've seen a lot, and I got a lot of friends all over the world that kind of deal with the same things that I've been dealing with. So I got a good picture of it, I should say.
Okay. All right. Awesome. And that's what we want. We want you to share with us what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've felt. And so with that, let's go ahead and get started. And I know from Johnny has shared with me that his girlfriend is from Trinidad. Is that correct, Johnny?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you also mentioned to me the other day that it's different. It's better. It's nice. I would like for you to tell us what's different, what's better about your relationship now than you, the ones you've had in the past, dating women of your own culture?
Well, I wouldn't. I you know, it's pretty hard to compare the two. You know, but it is a different feel, you know, dating an American woman versus dating someone that's not part of the United States. You know, the culture is totally different. The outlook on men are different. The way, you know, just from my point of view, even the way they treat men is a little different. You know, their values are totally different. It is different.
When you said I'm sorry.
Yeah, just the way their perspective on life, and I guess living here in the United States, you know, they have a different perspective of how they look at things. The way we look at things from a standpoint of politics, religion, or just even, you know, human, just their being is totally different. They don't look at it the way we look at it. I guess, say for instance, you know, being in America, we're used to our constitution, our way of life, the way we do things, and they're used to their way, and they're culturally way of doing things. It's just totally different.
When you say it's different and they treat you different, is it that they allow you to be who you are, be your authentic self, or are they just more kind? Yeah. Are they more submissive? What exactly are you saying?
I think they're more submissive, but at the same time, they don't get it twisted now. They women too. I mean, you just can't pull the wool over their eyes. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
But just the way they treat them, man. You know, they're nowhere. American women, and I'm just going to say Trinidadian women, look at things totally differently, totally. You know, whereas, you know, from what I'm seeing from American women, they're more ambitious now to achieve their goals and to strive forward. And their family values are real high, but I just see things just the way a Trinidad woman is. You know, just imagine you not being born in America and been born in a different country. So, you know, their value system is totally different. Totally different.
Okay, what it sounds like you're saying is that they're more in tune with family and community, whereas the women in America are more career-oriented. Is that what you're trying to say?
More or less, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Shelton, let's chime in with you. What do you think? What have you seen different as far as cultures?
It's just my opinion of the things that I've experienced. It seems like something happened a long time ago, or that what's happening a long time ago is coming. The effects of that are being felt now. And what I mean by that, because I came from a home like that myself, where I was raised by my mother. Uh-huh. And that made a lot of women real strong. Mm-hmm. And the majority, and I don't know the numbers, and it's just my opinion, I think a lot of women today, African-American women, came up in a household where it was just the mother.
Right.
And through their struggles, it's like they perceive, you know, they made it without a man, or they made it just with their mother. So a lot of them have that mindset when they get into a relationship. You know, my mother raised, I can just tell you from my mother, she raised 10 children.
And wow.
Basically, she was by herself.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's make it strong.
And not only that, all of us are successful in our own way. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of nurses in my family. I got a brother that owns a restaurant. I got one that runs a driving school. I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. I own my own tax business. I have another sister. She runs a salon. And so we were successful, even though we just had our mother. But mm-hmm. I have seven sisters, and I can tell you, one just got married, the oldest one, last year. Uh-huh. And one got married a few years ago, but divorced now. Mm-hmm. So I think the mindset is, and just speaking from my family, is that we're not the traditional family. You don't have to have the so-called American way of man and woman to raise a household. And I think that's what the problem that we have now that we see when, and I just tell you from my experiences, when I meet a African-American woman and we have conversation and all that, so a lot of times, real quickly, they let me know, I don't need you for nothing. I don't need a man for nothing. You know, my mama did this, and my aunt did this, and my sisters wow. did that. And mm-hmm. and they had that mindset. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm just speaking from a man's point of view. A lot of times when we're in a relationship or we're trying to raise a family, there's that need to have, to feel wanted or needed. Uh-huh. And we can be what African-American women need us to be. But a lot of times, if you keep telling somebody something, you keep showing somebody something, they get the mindset that, oh, well, they don't need me, or she don't need me, and she don't care about this, or I knew how she was raised, and they'll let you know, I'm comfortable there. You know, things don't work for me. You can beat it, and me and my kids can make it.
Right.
So I think it's just the, you know, things that happened in the past. It's just, we're feeling the effects of it now. And that's my opinion. That's what I feel.
Right. And what it sounds like the two of you are saying is that the American women, especially African American women, when we say, I don't need a man, it sounds like we're looking at it from a materialistic standpoint as far as.
I don't think.
And then from the Caribbean women, a lot of what they do, they make with their own hands. So it's more of an emotional difference. They are more heart-driven, is what it sounds like. And here, the American woman, African-American woman, we're looking at it more of a materialistic standpoint of view. Does that sound...
I don't know. Sometimes I think they're angry. Because... think of it. My mother was the sweetest woman that I've known. Mm-hmm. And she's never said anything bad about my father to me. Uh-huh. Never.
And that's very important.
But she didn't come across to me that she was angry. But I have talked to some women, and their mother was very angry about their father and said mm-hmm. things about it. So in return, I think they carry that anger. And to me, maybe anger is a strong word, but that's the only way I can describe it. It's like right. they're angry with black men. And I think me and you had a conversation a while ago, and I was telling you about just walking. And I challenge your listeners and everybody to just pay attention to this. Just walk into a restaurant and just observe. And I'm gonna say what I observe, and I'm not putting anybody down, please understand that. But observe when you see the black girls at the African American women at the register, and there are Caucasian men in front of you, men and women and families. And uh-huh. this has happened to me on several occasions. And watch them walk up to there and how they greet them and they deal with them. And it's funny to me, I have a twin brother, and we sit back and we sit on and watch when we get up there. And that's what they. And this one particular time, a white family was in front of me, and they gave the young lady a hard time, but she smiled and went through it, and very professional. So when I stepped up there, it just seemed like a switch was turned on.
Wow.
I always say, I wonder if I look like her daddy or something, or ex-boyfriend or something. I say it to myself. So like a switch is turned on. And so I walk up there, and we happened to be at McDonald's, and she just looked at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm waiting for her to say something, because that's mm-hmm. customer service to me. I'm in the customer service business, and so I know I have a good idea how she works. So she doesn't say nothing, so I don't want to come off rude, and I say, okay, how you doing today? What would you like? No response there. I said, okay, fine. Let me get a number one, blah, 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 blah. And said, no smile, no nothing. Just take my money and roll. And then I'll step back, and I'm like, wow. And then these folks will get their food. Thank you very much. Handing me food, and they're gone.
Amazing.
Put my food in the counter. There you go. And I'm like, this ain't, this, I must be imagining this. It's like, there's no way that just happened. And my brother sitting back laughing at me, he said, man, I'm trying to tell you, man, you got to pay attention to stuff. And he's the one that brought things to my attention because he was talking, you know, about how African-American women would deal with us, how they interact with us. And I was like, no, I think you're overreacting a little bit, bro, because he lives in Chicago and he has experience with multi-different cultures. And so he kind of, he said, no, I'm just telling you, it's that way in Chicago, too. And so that's just a pure, one of my experiences with the many that I've had in the service industry and even on the phone. So it's just something I think that if you would just sit back and observe, and I don't know why, and this particular, not this particular time, but it was another time, I actually told a young lady, I said, you know what? If you worked for me, I would fire you.
Wow.
Just because your customer service would, and I've seen you interact with different people differently than where you interact with me. And her manager overheard me talking to her and wanted to chime in to see what was going on. And she happened to be an African American woman, and she looked me up and down as if I was a ghost. Like, how did you come in here and say this? But I was just being honest, and I was fed up with just dealing with that. And I think, is there something on my forehead? Do I have a different look from another man? I don't know what it is. And I'm hoping to find an answer because I love my African-American women. I've dealt with all kinds of people, and I know for me, that's what I need. I know that's what I need. So I'm not giving up on them, and I don't love them no less, but there is a problem there, in my opinion.
Okay.
I would tend to agree with Sheldon completely.
I was going to ask you, did you see the same kind of differences, Johnny?
I've seen it, experienced it.
And it's young and old, young and old.
Yeah, and you know, another thing that from what I've seen, it's also, and I hate to put us in a situation, but it also seems like the side of town you grew up on plays a significant role.
Mm-hmm.
And these women nowadays. I mean, if you know, want to go to the so-called hood, not saying that everybody, you know, in the bad neighborhood is bad, but you see a lot of single parents, and the way they come across is with their kids is like, you know, working the system, negative attitude, not being positive, not trying to better themselves.
Right.
And you know, these things happen. Like you said, have you got, like he was saying, if you got good customer service and at least some decent manners, you know, that could take you a long way, whereas somebody looking you up and down, trying to figure you out, trying to figure you out.
Absolutely.
You coming through with an angle, and you're just trying to, hey, be nice, take a load off their shoulders and show them a positive attitude. No, and I'm not saying everybody's like that. But there is a huge difference.
Okay, guys. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But before we do, I want to remind our audience that we are talking with Johnny Hayward and Shelton Parker. They are both from the Lowcountry. I am sure you hear that dialect. It's that gullah. Yes, that little bit of gullah touch on there. We will return with the conversation from a man's perspective in a few moments. Okay, we are back with a conversation from a man's perspective. I am your host, Levana Forrest, and we are chatting with Johnny Hayward from Charleston, South Carolina, who now resides with us in Charlotte, and Shelton Parker from Georgetown, who's also here in Charlotte. We are talking about intercultural, interracial dating and relationships from the outside looking in. Shelton and Johnny. So it seems like the two of you have given a lot of negatives about the African-American women. And I do know that there are some African-American women that are very different than what you're saying. Of course, I am one of those different ones, thank goodness. So tell me, so in your opinion, do you think that because what you are feeling and experiencing from your side, that's why most a lot of African-American men decide to date outside of their race and culture because they're tired of the negativity?
It's hard to say. I can say yes and I can say no, but I guess it's pretty much on how you feel and what exactly anybody is looking for in somebody. You know, you can make a connection. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So what is your reason? You just happened to meet someone and she just happened to be from Trinidad, or did you go out searching?
I happened to meet someone and she just happened to be from Trinidad.
Okay. Shelton, what are your views? Do you think some African-American men actually choose to date outside of their race and culture because of the negative experiences with African-American women?
Absolutely. I have it in my family. Like I said when I first came on, I know what I need, and it's the African-American woman. And I say that because I have dated outside my race, and there are a lot of differences. And sometimes some differences is hard to overcome.
For example?
When I think about my mother, she's a beautiful black woman. And as a young child, I always told myself, you know, that's what I want. I'm an African-American man. I want an African-American woman because that's what I've been around and that's what I've seen. And it's a beautiful thing when it's right. On the other hand, other cultures and other nationalities can give you some of that, but they can't give, for me, they can't give me all of that I want. Or at least I have not met that one that can give me, and I can't put my finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what it is, but the African-American woman possesses something that no other nationality or culture has, and that's mm-hmm. my opinion. And what I want is I want that African American queen, quote unquote. You know, we used to say Nubian queens and African queens, and that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, if I found what I needed in another, then I don't think I would have a problem accepting that.
Okay.
Sometimes what you want, you can't always get. And when you're, if you're happy and it's what you need and you feel it's what you need and y'all can grow and be productive citizens of this great country,
mm-hmm.
then I'm all for it. I have nothing against someone that's dating someone other, because obviously is what they feel they need, and
right.
what I feel I need is just that.
Yeah, and sometimes what we need is oftentimes wrapped in a different package than what we desire.
Absolutely.
You know? So we have to look outside of the box sometimes on those things as well. You mentioned that you have a few family members. What is it, your brothers have married Caucasian women or Hispanic women?
Well, none of them are married, but I've had I have cousins and aunts that have married others, and in some situations they have the same issues, you know, that a typical African-American couple would have. But on the other hand, like Johnny was saying, that I have an aunt that's married to a German guy, and she just on top of the world. I mean, she's been married before to an African-American man, and she's just so happy, and she tells me all the time that You know, I've never been so happy. I mean, my ex could never make me this happy. And he's wonderful. He works. He takes care of me. He gives me anything I want. We have disagreements. We don't argue, but we disagree. And he'll listen, and he'll just the perfect guy is what she tells me. And, you know, I said, and you couldn't find that in African-American man? She said, of all the men I've dated, no. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, she's not squeaky clean, and she wasn't perfect. You know, she had some hard times. And I think when she got with this guy, you know, she's at a point in her life where she had done made some changes. So it just happened to be, you know, the pieces fit together then. I think if she had not made those changes, whether he was black, white, purple, or green, she would have had the same issues.
We are back with a conversation from a man's perspective. I'm your host, Levana Forrest, and we do have Johnny and Shelton on the line. They are sharing with us from their views what it's like to meet and date African-American women and why they think African-American men tend to move to different cultures. So what I was asking Shelton and Johnny, because of the negative feedback or experiences that you guys have received, do you think that's one of the reasons, or can you understand why some African-American men choose to date outside of the race or culture? And Johnny, you said you're not sure why. You just happened to have met your girlfriend, and she happened to be from Trinidad. And Shelton, you share that you can see why some men decide to date in other races and other cultures. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Shelton.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Shelton was right. It's just another thing that came across me is, like Shelton said earlier, you know, he's been in the military and he's seen different cultures. If you haven't been outside the country, I guess it would be hard for anyone to understand if they're not familiar with a different culture. You know, myself, I'm prior military too, and I've happened to have been in some other countries and experienced some other cultures. So, you know, I think that plays an important role too to figure out why men do what they do as far as dating outside their race or dating outside American women. And you know, just if you can leave the country and see different cultures, I mean, that probably can change the way you think about African American women.
Yeah, I'm sure it can. I was thinking back on something that Shelton shared with me, and he feels like in some cases, and not all, that African American women will not allow a man to be, and this is a slang word, to be slack. Shelton, you want to share with us that view that you mentioned about the male not working and the woman was working and she was Caucasian and he was African American?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I was telling her, and this happened just a few days ago. I live uptown, and normally when I go to my office, it's the rush hour, people trying to get to their 9-to-5s at most of the banks down there. And I happened to look in my rearview mirror, and I could see there was an African-American man driving, and it was a Caucasian woman in the passenger seat. And they pulled up behind me. We're at the red light. And she reaches over and gives him a kiss. And she opens the door and gets out. And so I observed her when she got out. And a very attractive Caucasian woman. I mean, she was very pretty, dressed really, really nice. And I was like, that's a nice-looking woman. And so immediately, and I'm not saying this is right, when I saw that, I was saying to myself, I bet she is taking care of that man. He's probably not working. And it's wrong for me to think that, to assume that. And I bet he rides around all day and does nothing. And just so happened, the next light we get to, he pulls up beside me, and I happen to know this African-American male. And so what I was thinking or what I was feeling, I know it to be true because I know him.
Wow.
And I said to myself, wow. And what I take from that is maybe some of them do allow African men to be slapped because it's not that, well, I feel he could find a job, but what he would rather do is sit at home, and he's as old as I am. Maybe a couple years younger than I. He sits at home, he plays video games all day, drink, hang out, party, and it's her car. I know it's not his car. It's her car, and he's driving it around all day, and he drops her off to work. Don't even drop her off to where she works at. He dropped off around the corner. So, you know, what I was thinking was actually true because I happen to know the guy. So,
wow.
You know, I don't, and maybe they are African. Well, I do know some African American women that have allowed that, but didn't like it. And I don't know that she likes it, but I know it's been going on for a while.
Yeah. And I know, you know, and I call myself an independent black woman to a certain degree. And when I see a man that is not working or is not trying or is giving excuses as it's working, I tend to question that because I raised two children and I've always worked. If I wasn't self-employed, I was working in somewhere in corporate America. So the excuses that I hear about not finding a job, I can't digest it. So I can understand coming from that side of the fence. I would not be able to take care of a man giving me that excuse. Now, if I were married, on the other hand, there are some compromises, but still, I would need my husband to go out and look for a job or at least try or create work for himself. Like the both of you, both are entrepreneurs. You know, and I know you both do not like what corporate America does to us. And so rather than you two sitting home and complaining or relying on your wife or your girlfriend, the two of you have created your own wealth. And that's what women like me like. That's the independent woman. From my perspective, from my opinion, other women may have a different take on that. But that's my take on the independent woman. I like that I see in a man, but I'm not going to take care of you. And I do know that there are some Caucasian women that will take care of a man more readily, accepting some excuses a little bit more easily than we will. But guys, we're going to be right back. Let's take a break. We'll be right back in a few moments. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are back with Johnny Hayward and Shelton Parker with a conversation from a man's perspective. Guys, how are you doing so far?
I'm great. Thank you.
Wonderful. What I'd like to ask now is, what advice can you give any woman, lady that's listening, who's ready for a serious relationship, who's ready for the next step? From your perspective, what tips can you give us? Johnny,
well,
let's start with you.
I say this with all due respect. I think the biggest advice I would give is for women to be submissive. And when you say that word around African American women, that tends to bring up red flags and fighting words. But if they understood the word submissive, it would be a good thing, and to have patience. You know, all men out there aren't bad. Some have their ways of doing things, but to be submissive and to be patient and understand a man, you know, that's the biggest advice I can always give.
Okay, be submissive and patient. Okay, so when you said being submissive, allowing the man to be a man and not wanting to take control?
Well, actually, you know, I look at it as where a man is, you know, he's supposed to be the king of the castle. And he's going to listen to his woman. But, you know, a man should, you know, he should be the head of household because he's the I won't say to provide, because, you know, times are different now. Women do provide, but a man's only, right. You know, I can't say he has an ego, but, you know, he wants to be in control of his household. Not that he's, you know, putting anybody in jeopardy or anything like that. Being submissive is very important.
Okay, all right. Thank you. And Shelton, what are your tips?
I say a man should choose his wife as opposed to a woman choosing her husband. If a man loves a woman, and I try to tell every woman I get in contact with, I even talk with my sisters, if a man truly loves you, you're not going to have nothing to worry about. Now, I'm not to say that he's not going to make mistakes, because we're going to make mistakes, but he's going to always have your best interest at heart if he truly loves you. And so trust comes into play then. You have to trust. I know most African-American women know what African-American men go through, and most African-American men know what African-American women went through. So I know there's a trust thing. So you have to be able to, no matter what you've been through, if a man chooses you and he really loves you, there's nothing, you most of the obstacles you're going to come across, you've already beaten them. And you have to trust him and believe that he says he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, I'm not talking about these brothers that tell you anything, tell you what you want to hear. I'm talking about the brothers that are trying to do the right thing and do good by you in the family. There's a lot of good brothers out there. I always hear them say, there ain't no good brothers out there. Well, what are you looking for? But when you do find them, are you going to know what to do? Are you going to understand, okay, this is, you know, you have to clean the slate. You can't bring, because you was hurt in your last relationship, or he cheated on you, or he said this and he did that, into the new relationship. Well, you know, my ex said the same thing. I don't trust that. And so I think that's what has to happen. If the man chooses
you, she should not bring in baggage. She needs to trust, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. You're never going to forget what you've been through, and you've learned from your lesson, but you cannot base. You can't look at him and go, okay, he's this type and that type, and this is what I got to do. It doesn't work that way. I've talked to people on the phone and business-like, and I come across to them as a Caucasian man. And I'm thinking, I'm the furthest thing from that. And I have white friends, too, and I'm all about Black history and Black that. And I got a white friend that I call all the time. I'd be like, you know, let's face it now. Black folks, we have done some bad things in the last few years that's big in the news. But, and I'm not judging now. I'm just saying, you know, most of the time when something, and please forgive me for saying this, something crazy happened, they're Caucasian. So I call my Caucasian buddy up. I say, boy, it ain't a good week for Caucasians, is it? I say, boy, that white boy was crazy. And he just laughed. Because he knows it's true. And but not to say all Caucasians are that way. And I think what happens is, you know, things have happened in the past and things that are happening now, that when women meet a nice guy, well, you know what? He's too good to be true. He's too good to be true. He's got to have a wife somewhere. Or he's got to. And that's just because that's what you experience. And, like, I agree 100% with Johnny. If you ain't never been outside that box, if all you know is the low country, you're going to be in trouble when you meet somebody from the Midwest.
Right.
Or you meet somebody from Germany or another country. You got that mentality. You got what you've learned. And we have to learn to let go. Let go. And this is a new chapter, so you got to start from the beginning. You can't start in the middle. You don't read a book. When you get a book, you don't jump in the middle and read it. You start from the beginning.
Right.
And that's, you have to do a relationship that way. You have to start from the beginning and let it write its own chapters and then go, you know what? This man ain't no good because of this, this, and this. Not because I think or I know he's doing this or I feel this. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, we got you. Okay, well, thank you very much, Shelton and Johnny, for those tips. Ladies, I hope you're going to take this to heart. You can use it or lose it. It's up to you. But, guys, before we go, we have about 4 minutes left. I would like to share with our listening audience that the two of you have actively worked with A Taste of the Lowcountry. And I've attended one of those. It was a small event at one time, and then it grew to an enormous size. So, Johnny, give us a little bit of history about A Taste of the Lowcountry, and tell us the admission, how to contact you. But I can tell everybody, I believe it is August 10th. Is that correct, Johnny?
Yes, ma'am, it is. It's going to be held at Park Royal Park. The hours are going to be from 2 o'clock to 7, and the menu is pretty much, you know, food from the Lowcountry, okra soup, lima beans, collard greens, not fried chicken. We'll have some fried chicken, fish. Uh-huh. We'll do a lot of grilling. We have activities for the kids. You know, this is all for the kids and giving back a little bit of community time so we can help kids get started on the upcoming school calendar year.
Okay, awesome.
This will be our 11th year, I believe. We took a year off last year, and the back feed that we got on that was not positive because it's an event that everybody kind of looks forward to. And like I said, we do it for the kids. It's not for any personal gain, anything like that. All the proceeds goes to, you know, giving back to the kids that are in need of, you know, school supplies, paper, pencils, backpacks, and stuff like that. You know, it's a good organization to be with. It's family-oriented. And, you know, we want you to come out and have a good time and feel the Southern charm, should I say.
Yes. So what is the admission?
The admission is $25 in advance, which you can pay. I believe we have a Facebook page, which is the Taste of the Lowcountry .com. You can go on that website, and you can, you know, uh-huh. We have posters and pictures and, you know, things that tell you of how you can give back and how you can get in contact as far as getting admission to the park and where it's going to be and the fees that you have to pay.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you. So, listeners, again, A Taste of the Lowcountry 2013 is August 10 from 2 to 7, Park Road Park, Charlotte, North Carolina. The admission is $25, and you can contact them through Facebook, tasteoflowcountry.com. Johnny and Shelton, we thank you very much for joining us on A Conversation from a Man's Perspective.
My pleasure.
And I am your host, Levanna Forrest. You guys have a great day.